So the title of the sermon today is titled, The Recipe. And you've heard in stories, I'm sure, over many years, or you have read stories about people who said, I was lost, didn't know where to turn, but I found this church. I was abused, but I found this church. I had a terrible, abusive childhood, but I found this church. I was abusing drugs and alcohol most of my life, but then I found this church. Church family, I want to be that church. In many ways, I believe that we are that church. Just this week, I told a couple of different people, this church operates on love and extends grace. And if that's not who you are and that's not what you want, this is probably not the church for you. But we are always going to extend love, and we are always going to extend grace. Some churches are so legalistic in their approach to the Word of God, in their approach to people, that their thinking is you have to stay true to the Word. You don't want to become liberal or too liberal, and you need to draw lines where lines need to be drawn. Our God that we serve today is a God of love. His word says that God is love. Love, grace, and mercy was exemplified through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. True to the word, Jesus is the living word of God. He was the Logos and the Rhema, the living and the spoken word of God. If we are the church that we want people to find, how do we maintain and stay to be that church? Turn with me to John chapter 13. This teaching is so beautiful and so rich that we could probably speak on it for the next 6 months. But if you turn with me to John chapter 13, and we're going to start reading from verse 1. And verse 1 says, John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What am I doing? You do not understand, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, You're not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, you have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, Jesus did not come to serve or to be served, but to serve. Nothing illustrates that more than this passage of Scripture that we're looking at today. Jesus was going to do something that a servant should have done, but there was no servant available. So who should have done it? Well, one of the disciples should have done it. In biblical times, people didn't sit at a kitchen table like we sit at a kitchen table, but they would kind of recline and lay on their side, and they would eat that way. And they all wore sandals, you know that. And all the dirt and all the filth that was on their feet, that before they would go to recline and eat, they would wash the feet. Have you ever said as a kid, "Get your stinky feet out of my face"? Or have you, when your kids were little, I'm sure you have, I have many times, is when you take their shoes off and they're just little toddlers and you tease them and you say, "Oh, they have stinky feet." And the little children, they just laugh and giggle, you know, and you do that over and over. Well, that may be fun, but it may turn your stomach if it was at the dinner table. Truly, in Isaiah 53 is betrayed here. Jesus did not come as a king or a conqueror, but he came as a suffering servant for each and every one of us today. To be that church others said they found. Every one of us must recognize that we are only servants to one another. You've heard me say that many times. Carol and Leo are not CEOs. I'm not the chairman of the board in this church. I am a servant. I am a servant to the body of Christ. There's no higher calling than to be a servant. And if I'm a servant to you, we are supposed to be a servant to one another. If you feel that you are a servant to Christ, then we must be servants to one another. Because to truly know Christ, you must be servants to each other. And in this servanthood, you must be humble. In verse 3 of this scripture, it says this. It says, "And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands," now listen to it, "and that he had come from God and he was going to God." Jesus came from God, he was going to God. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Jesus who was God, got down on his knees to wash their feet that day. Are you a servant today? And are you humble about being a servant? There are no look at me followers of Jesus. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm accomplishing. But look at what happens in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, "After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand, but you will know after this.'" I could preach 5 sermons on verse 6 when it says then. Look at verse 6. "Then he came to Simon Peter." Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.'" How many feet had Jesus washed before he got to Peter? Then, in verse 6, he got to Peter. So how many disciples? We don't know because it's not recorded in the scripture. But it was more than one because he said then, or it was at least one because he said then he came. Why didn't anybody else say, "Hey, Jesus, let me do that. Let me take care of that. You're the Lord of glory. You're getting ready to give your life on Calvary for each and every one of us. Give me that towel, give me that pan of water, and I'll be glad to wash the feet." You would have thought somebody else would have spoke up. In the church, we must have a "here, let me do that" attitude. Let me get that for you. Instead of a "stand back and watch and let somebody else do it." In the body of Christ, there is no job that is below me as a pastor. I can tell you that. There's no job that is below me. I would be gladly go out there and teach children's church today, but I'm required to be here. I would gladly go in and fix your supper or lunch and wash the dishes, but you know I'm required to be here right now. You know what? The biggest cop-out in church is I don't feel called to do it. Do you recognize and realize how many things that I don't feel called to do that I do for the body of Christ because Jesus gave his life for the body of Christ? I don't not necessarily called to vacuum. I'm not necessarily called to sweep. I most certainly am not a contractor. But look at where we're sitting today. We do things because we recognize there's a need, and we respond to the need because Jesus died for the cross. I'm willing to submit myself and do what the body of Christ needs. People, we use the excuse of the Holy Spirit just because they don't want to do something, because I just don't feel led to do that. Yes, I understand the calling of God in your life, but don't use it as an excuse not to be able to help out. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Now, I want you to save your place here, but I want you to go with me to John 21, because in John 21, you're going to see where this is going to be revealed to Peter, that he's going to be doing just exactly what Jesus is doing, not necessarily washing feet, but he's going to be as a servant serving other people in his life for the rest of his life. So you go to John 21. John 21. John 21, you're going to go to verse 15. So get to John 21, in John 21, in verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Then tend to my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Peter would give his life for the church. The most important thing in our lives, brother and sister, is the body of Christ. What can I do to help support and encourage and strengthen the body of Christ? That's what my plan is. That's our plan, because that's what Jesus left with us. We can never say, "Well, it's not that important. You don't have to go to church to know Jesus." We know theologically, philosophically, you don't have to. But we are called to the body of Christ. We're not called to an island. We're not called to be on an island all by ourselves. We're called to the body of Christ so we can bring our talents and our gifts and our skills into the body of Christ to be a support to the body, because Jesus gave his life for the body of Christ. He says, "You don't understand it, but you will." Peter would become that servant, washing the feet of others with his life. We go back to John chapter 13 and we go to verse 8. And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." And showing to us and revealing to us that Jesus Christ, Peter knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He didn't need a bath all over. He was saved. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're born again. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't mean you don't pick up dirt on your feet. Because we walk in a world that's very dirty. We walk in a world that is full of sin. You know, in other words, these people were walking in streets that had camel poop and donkey poop. Well, let me tell you, we walk in a lot of donkey poop in our life. And we get it splattered on us. And every one of us need to make sure that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily and say, "Lord, I ask you for your forgiveness. I don't know if I've done anything, but I my intentions, my desire, my will, my motives, I submit them to you. Father, forgive me." Peter said, "Wash me all over." What a beautiful teaching. Peter was saved. He knew Jesus. He didn't need a spiritual cleaning all over, but from walking in a world of sin, you pick it up. Daily we need the washing of the Word, washing of the Spirit. That's what sanctification is, the cleansing of the Word and the cleansing of the Spirit. Daily to set under His Word, daily to set under His Spirit. Are you doing that? If you're going to be that church that people say they found, we need to. So right now we're on page 10 of my notes. And I haven't got to my sermon yet. Are you ready? Look at John chapter 13, look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says, "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Verse 14 again. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you should do as I have done to you." The church I was saved in, when they took communion, they had a feet washing service. It was a ceremony. You would wash each other's feet. So everybody, the men would be with the men and the ladies would be with the ladies. And they would take turns. And they would wash each other's feet. Very special service. But listen to me, this scripture is not talking about a format that you do or that you live, but a spiritual teaching that you must do. Jesus was teaching, even after you're saved, you need daily forgiveness, a spiritual cleansing from the sin of the world, but from walking in the world that we live in today that is filled with sin. As Christ forgave us, we are supposed to forgive others. That's how I wash your feet. Because I'm willing to sacrifice and say, you know what? This person may have made this mistake. And maybe they were a little bit critical, but you know what? I'm going to forgive them today for being that way. I need to. I must forgive. Matthew 6:12 in the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive others' debts and trespasses against us." It's a life of forgiveness. It's not a life of ever going to the church or going to the altar every Sunday and accepting Jesus. I don't need to do that because I've been washed pure. I am white because of my salvation, because of what Jesus has done in my life. But every day I need to ask for forgiveness. Is your attitude always perfect? Is your behavior always perfect? If your goals in life are always perfect, maybe you don't have to, but Pastor Leo does. Let me give you an outline of a church. The life of a church. In church life, church is founded. And man, the church is excited because it's founded and it's all in love. They're all in love with each other. Look what we're doing for the kingdom of God. And about 10 or 15 years in, cliques start to develop among people. Them, us. I don't like what they're doing. I think we should do this or we should do that. They develop a critical spirit, and the circle of friends gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You today, I will love you no matter what, and I will love you until I leave this earth. That's what we're called to do. And the circle of friends gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Have you ever known anybody that had a critical spirit? Let me tell you, I've known several. I've known preachers that had a critical spirit. They were so fed up with the church. They were so fed up with the people. They just didn't want anything to do with them. And it's like, man, you need to take that to the altar and you need to wash somebody's feet. You wash their feet because you're the one that's dirty. And you know why that Pastor Carol and Pastor Leo have never gained a critical spirit of other people? Because we choose not to. Amen. Not to. Amen. Who wants to be a preacher around a preacher? It looks like he's baptized in vinegar. He doesn't have any grace, doesn't have any love. He's not willing to extend love. He's not willing to extend grace. It's like this is a line that you need to walk this line. If you do not walk in this line, you need to get out or do something different in your life. Never extending grace. I need the grace of God in my life. I can tell you that right now. And you do too. We all need His love and His grace. But when we start out and we have a critical spirit, you might have a lot of friends around you. But all of a sudden, the group of friends get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, those people are odd. Or those people aren't like us. They're weird. Do something. I want you to do something with me today. I want you to say these words with me. I am strange. I am odd. And I am weird. You got it. Because when you look in the mirror, there's probably something different about you as well. If you are to be the church that people say, my life was on the rocks, but I found a church that would love me. I found a church that would extend grace to me. If you want to be that church, then we must be servants, we must be humble, we must be loving, and we must be forgiving. In your heart right now, spiritually, is there someone that you really need to wash your feet? Today, through prayer and acceptance, I want us all to wash each other's feet. Does that mean, Leo, you're going to do something weird, you're going to get out a pan of water, and we're going to take turns washing each other's feet? No. We're going to do that spiritually in our hearts and our lives today. We want this church to be a church that never stops growing. We want this church to be a church that stands on the Word, believes the Word, proclaims the Word. But right along with it, we extend the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just ask. Father, you give us a recipe to be what you want us to be. You give us the recipe to be the church that you want us to be. And Father, I believe this church's desire is to live by that recipe. That we are forgiving, that we are caring, that we are willing to extend grace to one another. And Father, may we never leave that. May we never leave that. May we always be a church body that's going to extend love. There's people that make mistakes in the world, Father. They need a loving God in their life. I want us to be that church that we extend that love to them so they can experience the same love that we have experienced today. Help us to be those kind of people today, Father. And Lord, if there's people in here today, we've been irritated by somebody in the church, or we've been frustrated by somebody in the church. Let's just wash their feet spiritually in our hearts and our lives today, church. Let's just wash their feet. Get down before them and cleanse them. And forgive them just as Jesus forgave each and every one of us. Forgive others because you have been forgiven. How can we say that we are not willing to forgive and to let go and give it to God? We thank you for that today, Father. And every mind, I'm just going to let you sit for a minute, church. I just want you to feel the presence of the Lord. That situation, those group of people, whatever it is, Father, you just let it go. Let it go and let God have it today. Thankful for this time that we could gather today and hear and learn more about your word and the church that you want us to be. Peter learned that. Peter would give his life for the church. It has been said that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified as Christ was. He learned because Jesus was willing to wash his feet. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. May your hand be upon our lives, and may, Father, do you bring us all back, and everybody bring 10 people with them to join it. And may people find, this is the church that I've been looking for. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day. Praise God.